Government would grind to a halt faster without contractors than without a permanent budget bill. Yet, like their federal employee counterparts, contractors spend a lot of time trying to interpret the tea leaves as the Trump administration prepares to take over, especially information technology companies. With what contractors are expecting and hoping, Trey Hodgkins, Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Trey, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. Happy to be here.
Now, you folks at the ITIC, at the ITIC, have been in contact with the transition teams. What are you telling them?
Well, our executives began a conversation actually back in the midst of the campaign, talking about what might technology look like in the next administration, what do we like that had been going on in the past 8 years, and where did we think it needed to go in the next administration. And that conversation matured around three different topics, and frankly, some of the commentary from the campaign helped put a finer point on some of the things. The first one is around cybersecurity, and obviously President-elect Trump made that a narrative in his campaign and a focus and centerpiece specifically around the federal government, and we obviously industry have been heavily involved and engaged with the government on this front.
And boy, has that one has really boiled up too.
It has. There's, you know, been a multitude of different reminders, if you will, that our systems are not as secure as they perhaps could be. And, you know, I think there's a wide consensus that we'll always be reminded with different breaches of some sort or another because the bad guys keep figuring out new ways to break into systems. But I think there's also a widespread agreement that we can do a better job of protecting the networks we have and putting in safeguards that detect problems or vulnerabilities earlier. And so we agree with that and put that as a centerpiece to what our messaging to the administration should be. But we've tied it inseparably to IT modernization. Just to try and go out and do cybersecurity without looking at IT systems writ large in the federal government is, you know, frankly, a largely futile effort. There are going to be things we have to protect today and vulnerabilities we have to address today. But we believe that the way to drive security and assurance in IT systems is to look at modernization across the networks and deliver cybersecurity as an integrated component to the development of those systems as they get built or as they get replaced, instead of approaching it as a bolt-on, after-the-fact solution, which is kind of what we would be doing if we just went at cybersecurity.
I'm wondering if you got any kind of feedback on the idea of IT modernization, because this is something that Congress is trying to pursue in its way, and the administration has been trying to pursue as a budget item in its own way.
We've heard initially that, you know, they've received the comments and appreciate them and have expressions of interest in furthering the discussion with us. So I think that, you know, we're approaching that point where they're getting ready to hand off things to people that are coming in. And that's my understanding of where the process is, or at least almost to. But they have these recommendations. The other point I want to make, Tom, about those two is that our industry has come to the conclusion that we can no longer use the existing acquisition and procurement processes and achieve either of these objectives. We will fail at trying to secure government networks, and we will fail at IT modernization if we have to continue to use, frankly, what have become dysfunctional processes and practices. They do not deliver the ability to acquire information technology capabilities, and it's time for a conversation about a wholesale change to acquisition and procurement policies and practices in the federal government, particularly as they relate to bringing on board and investing in and managing IT and IT capabilities.
We're speaking with Trey Hodgkins, Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. And do you believe that the procurement processes don't allow the acquisition of what's needed at all, or just not simply fast enough to do any good?
Well, the pace is certainly one major element that the government is under the current construct is forced to buy old technology, essentially. And then if you start the year as we have this year under a CR, you can't buy anything new unless there's some form of an exception in a continuing resolution. You simply have to keep paying for and operating what you already have, which I think is has been and certainly an exacerbation to, if not a significant contributor to, the state of IT in the federal government today. And, you know, we've had, I saw some information that over the past 40 years, we've had well over 100 continuing resolutions to operate the government. And it's frankly a dysfunctional means of funding things that are absolutely critical to the government mission, like information technology capabilities.
And so if you add together the idea of modernizing plus the idea of much more rapid and quick acquisition or something more rational on acquisition, that would seem to mitigate in favor of some other technical initiatives that have been pretty well underway, like agile development, cloud computing, and things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the points we make in our commentary to the transition team is that our existing processes and practices have been unable to incorporate things like agile development. And that is something that is the government has acknowledged, and as well as industry, that that's something that's a dynamic we can't sustain. The government's solution has been to create programs designed to try and deliver agile procurement, but they're doing it in a way that, frankly, they're creating workarounds to some of the different procurement practices and protocols out there that the industrial base still has to comply with, and companies that want to try and come into the market have to comply with. And so when we reach a point where we're creating programs to specifically design workarounds to the acquisition and procurement processes we have, we probably need to stop trying to get around the problem and address the problem itself. And that's where, you know, the community of companies that we work with and the executives that we work with have reached the point where they've just decided that it's time to make these changes. When we're all focused on ways to do workarounds, we need to go back and fix the system at large and come up with a better way.
Now, there were 230-some-odd pages of procurement reform in the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act. Does any of that aim in the right direction?
Absolutely. And much of it addresses specific symptoms in the processes and practices we have. A lot of it was focused on commercial item access, for example. A critical element of the conversation and what we did in this legislation by working with the HASC and the SASC, suggested and advocated for a number of those changes, and we've seen them come to fruition. But in the broader conversation about how does this work and how do we keep this conversation going, a lot of people have concluded that no matter how much success we have on those fronts of changing one piece or one element of statute, we're really just playing at the edges. We're incrementally changing things, and the broader system is still in place.
Maybe a lot of this will depend on, for example, who gets appointed to the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, and to some degree, the people that populate the Office of Management and Budget.
Absolutely. You know, the OMB still controls every program through the submission of the 300s and the approval process associated with those. So every IT investment has an approval process at OMB, and the people that manage those will play a critical role. The people that end up in the important positions leading OFPP or the federal CIO's office is another area that we think would be influential in this conversation. Those people are going to be critical, but our part of the narrative is that we need to look at changing the whole process. It simply has reached a point where it has outlived its usefulness, certainly, again, for information technology capabilities, goods and services. And at least for that community of capabilities that are now central to every mission in the federal government, we need to figure out a new way to do it.
Trey Hodgkins is Senior Vice President for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
See all of our transition coverage and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.